Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WellFit Radio Chicago, brought to you by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find yours. You have questions about health, fitness, and nutrition, and we have the answers. Every week, we answer the top questions in the field of health and fitness, and we broadcast it live to you. We are also live streaming on blogtalkradio.com, as well as on our Facebook page, both private and public. Look for Momentum Fitness and Health. Then you can see my bright, shining face and find out that I'm actually using a phone as a microphone. Just a fun way that we do it here. So listen live or archived anytime here or on our Facebook page. You can also find helpful videos on health, wellness, exercise routines at findingyourmomentum.com. My name is Jason Venkis, and I am an award-winning and published certified personal trainer, health coach, and fitness nutrition specialist. And today, I want to answer the question, why a nice, healthy salad will cost you $7, but a greasy burger, just $1. So you're going to want to stick around for this today. Now, this isn't going to be a rant about veganism versus omni-eating. That's not what I'm here to do, okay? So don't worry. Today is going to be a very, very political discussion, believe it or not. So stick around, and you're going to find out why salad is so expensive, or healthy food in general. We just use salad as a to get your attention. But why healthy food is so much more expensive than the crappy, crummy food that's out there. So you might think that, you know, that the simple answer is quality of ingredients. And it's a little bit true, but it goes further than that. You know, sure, there's probably some truth that when we call a food a superfood, that the grocery stores and the manufacturers of these just jack up the price because, oh, it's superfood. People are going to rush to get this. They're going to pay a premium for it. And more evidence is starting to find that fruits and vegetables are really good for us, you know, as far as staving off illness and disease. So just like the EpiPen, out of necessity, or because out of necessity, the price goes up, right? Well, maybe. But again, it's not the complete story. The real answer here as to why health food is so expensive as opposed to a lot of our junk foods is government subsidies. There is this cyclical process between commercial farmers and the government that sees many genetically modified crops of filler foods like genetically modified wheat, soy, and corn receiving tons and tons of money, and then that money, and then they get a profit and they send that right back. Lost my point. Additionally, the beef and dairy industries are given subsidies too, and this lowers their prices. But are the subsidies being given to organic farmers that don't use dangerous pesticides, growth hormones, arsenic, and antibiotics? Nope, they're not. These subsidies are being given away to factory farms who, while organic and non-GMO farmers are spending more and more money each year in fees for certifications. So since money is given to these commercial farmers, they can lower their prices to reach more people. But at what cost? Most of these GM crops are grown to be used in the junk food industry and GM feed for livestock. These junk food companies and fast food companies also get either subsidies or at least tax breaks in order to keep their prices low. And then all that money is given, and then money is given back, not all of it, but money is given back to the lobbyists and the politicians that are going to write the laws for them and help to get the politicians reelected that they want. Here's an astounding fact. In 2009, the U.S. federal government paid $12.3 billion to American farmers. This seems like it would be a good thing. Help with jobs, help with food production. But even as farmers profit from increased demand, the government remains a major player in the food business and who they want to survive and make the most money. Now, genetically modified corn is at the top of the list. It raked in over $77 billion from the government between 1995 and 2010. And the subsidies have only been going up. So there's a common belief that healthy food is inherently expensive and thus can only be for the wealthy. But in fact, healthy food could easily be more affordable to everyone if not for agribusiness CEOs, their lobbyists, and the politicians in their pockets. If that money was spread out a little bit more evenly, then that would level the playing field. So lawmakers whose campaigns are underwritten by agribusiness use billions of taxpayer dollars to subsidize these commodities that are the key ingredients of unhealthy food, and that's your GM corn, soybeans, wheat, etc. Now, the manufactured price inequality helps junk food basically undersell, have lower prices than our nutritious foods. Let's take a look at genetically modified soy, often used as fillers, often used as feed for commercial animals, commercially raised livestock animals. They're the largest category within the U.S. soy crop, are the GM varieties, and they are the principal beneficiary of huge subsidies now being paid by the U.S. government. This is going to the soy farmers. Now, according to the Farmers Weekly Report, a staggering figure of nearly 70% of U.S. soybean value now comes from the U.S. government and their funding. So this has caused a 25% increase in soy planting in the U.S. since 1998 and a consequent collapse in the world oilseed prices. So now the government's putting all this money into this GM soy. We're making a lot of soybean oil out of it, making a lot of feed out of it, and it's driving the prices down, making it cheaper. Now, in the process, the U.S. government has created an artificial domestic and international market for U.S. soy, the world's largest source of genetically modified food and animal feed that's out there. You know, in effect, the U.S. farm subsidy policy is artificially promoting genetically modified soy production at the expense of other non-GM oil seeds grown around the world, which do not receive similar levels of subsidy at all. Now, when I went and I researched subsidies for kale farmers, guess what I found? Nothing. Actually, I found someone named Brent Kale, and his top three crops are genetically modified wheat, corn, and soy, and he was number three on the list of people that are receiving subsidies for their farms. So as a matter of fact, the top 30 people who received farm subsidies over the last 15 years have been genetically modified wheat, corn, soy, and commercial livestock, again, driving down the prices of these, you know, genetically modified, manufactured, you know, fillers, basically, that go into a lot of junk food. Not saying that soy or corn or wheat necessarily is bad, it's just saying that when it's genetically modified and it's overly processed and then it's put into junk foods as fillers, that is what's causing the problem. Now, a study in 2013, which was conducted by a federal public interest research group, confirmed that $19.2 billion were spent subsidizing junk corn and soy between 1995 and 2013. This eclipses many times over the $689 million spent on apple farming subsidies during that same period. Now, apples are the only fruit or vegetable that receive any kind of substantial government subsidies. So what's more is that many of our fast food companies receive tax breaks and find loopholes not to pay taxes. Now, this is also going to make it cheaper to produce these not-so-healthy foods. The people that are producing whole, unprocessed foods aren't getting these tax breaks. The farmers aren't getting these subsidies. You know, the subsidies are getting pushed out for the things that are found in junk food and make junk food so much cheaper, basically. Now, if there were no subsidies, or subsidies were spread out a little bit more evenly between all farms, prices would be very similar for healthy food and for junk food. Actually, junk food would cost more because of the extra processing that has to happen. I mean, think about what has to happen to get a Twinkie in the stores. You have to pay farmers to produce the sugar, the wheat, and the corn. So you got three different farmers. You have to pay the chemical companies for the preservatives that they put in there to make it shelf stable. Then you have to pay the workers in the factory that are going to combine the ingredients and operate the machines, which are very dangerous, these machines. And then you have to pay for packaging and store markup. Store markup is you have to. So now a box of 10 Twinkies is about $3.41 on Amazon. $3.41 for a 10-pack of Twinkies, right? With all that processing, all those people's hands that it has to pass through. Now, if you want an apple, you have to pay one farmer to produce it, pick it, wash it, and ship it to the store. There's no packaging, so all you have is store markup. 10 medium-sized apples comes out to about 70 ounces, or 4.375 pounds. Now, the average national price for non-organic or non-GMO apples is $1.57, or $6.86 for 10 apples. 10 Twinkies, all that processing, all those extra ingredients, $3.41. Apples, one ingredient, one farmer, to the store, double the price. And that's not even for organic organic apples. That price is going to go up for organic apples because, hey, organic is better. Bam, let's slap a higher price tag on it. So there's two things. There's more than two things. Those are two of the things that are driving up the cost of healthy food. So there's much less processing in hand, but you have to pay double. It's pretty unbelievable, isn't it? So there's another piece of this, and it's about how food is produced, selected, and grown. Now, have you heard of ugly food? Probably not, because our ugly food gets thrown away. We have such a demand for perfect-looking fruits and vegetables in the marketplace that 40% of the crops that are grown never even make it to the store, never even make it off the farm in some cases. Now, they aren't given to those in need or sold at a lower price. No. They're simply either tossed, burned, or composted. So vast quantities of produce that do not meet our standards for beautiful food, for beautiful, perfect-looking food, it might have a little hole in it, or two carrots grew together and wrapped around each other, they're either left in the fields to rot, fed to livestock, which actually might be a good thing compared to the genetically modified feed, or hauled to landfills. So this isn't just a U.S. problem either. Both the U.S. and Japan have very, very similar methods to growing fruit. Apples, for example. I keep going back to apples. It's just the easiest thing to do. So we want bigger apples, more robust apples. We don't want them bruised. We don't want them damaged. We don't want anything wrong with them. So what happens on a lot of apple farms is when you have two apples growing next to each other or a group of apples growing next to each other, a worker will come in, and their job is to look at, okay, which of these two or three or, you know, whatever this group of apples are, whichever one looks the healthiest, and then pull the other ones away, pull the other ones aside, pull them off, throw the other ones in the trash heap, and let that one apple grow bigger. Now, we just threw away two apples that might have been, you know, good for somebody. You know, a 45-calorie apple, 90 calories total for the two apples, could have gone in somebody's lunch, or it could have been the worker's lunch. But no, they're just tossed off to the side. Think about this when you're gardening. When you're gardening and you thin out, if you're growing lettuce especially, and you thin out your lettuce, and you've got little bits of lettuce like this, do you throw that out or do you eat it? Well, it's so small. People are like, nah, it's trash. Last year with my garden, I was able to pull up so much microgreens that I was able to make two or three large bowls of salad just from the stuff that I thinned out. We throw away tons and tons of billions of dollars on fruit, on produce that isn't going to sell in the market because either it has a little spot on it or a little hole in it or it's not... You know, it's not the right size. So, again, 40% of our crops are thrown out. So it's not that we have a food problem. It's just the food's not making it out to us. It's not making it to where it needs to go. So how do we fix this? Well, we need to continue to buy whole produce. As demand increases, eventually so will supply, and prices will come down because competitors are going to be fighting for our attention, for our business. Call for an end of government subsidies of fast food companies and crops grown to produce fillers, corn that make corn syrup and sugars. Grow your own. That's the best thing you can do. I can't stress this enough. Grow your own fruits and vegetables. Grow as much of your own food as you can. Not only are you going to save money, but you're going to save on resources like water and soil erosion. You're not going to be using pesticides. You know, smaller farms and even large gardens are easier to control pests and weeds without dangerous poisons. It's just easier to manage. So there's a lot of things that you can do. You can start writing to your senators and asking them, you know, to at least maybe spread out these subsidies. You know, and then pay attention to who your senator, who you're voting for. Pay attention to who they're backing. I didn't do it. I thought about doing it, but I was going to go ahead and look up our two current presidential candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and look to see who had their hands in their pockets. I can tell you right now that Hillary Clinton has very strong ties with the Monsanto Corporation, which does genetically modify all of our crops, basically, and make the pesticides as well. I don't know about Trump. I am going to look into it because I am curious to know if he's getting any money from any of these companies as well. But know who you're voting for. But you really want to vote with your dollars. Spend the money on the things that are important to you. And the more that people do this, the more it's going to become mainstream and the cheaper it's going to be. The price of organics has actually gone down in the last few years and will continue to do so. So you can do it. I have faith in you. I have faith in me. I have faith that we can make change with how in the world with how we spend our money, where our money goes. So thanks for joining me today. If you have any questions about this subject or any other health, nutrition, or fitness-related items, please come find us on Facebook at Momentum Fitness and Health or at our website, www.findingyourmomentum.com. Join me next time as I'm going to discuss what you need to know about supplement ingredients. Find out if separate fact from fiction. Until then, I hope that you find your momentum. That's all that I am now. That's all that I am now.